We've been talking a lot about Ukraine, a lot about the Fed, and yet this comes at a backdrop of what really are very contentious hearings for Ketanji Brown Jackson to become the next member of the Supreme Court, really replacing someone who has been on their court for decades. Joining us now to talk about the latest, Jordan Rubin, Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter. Jordan, what are you watching for today? What new light are we looking to sort of get shed at a time when most people think she's all but confirmed?
I think that's right, that she's all but confirmed. And so obviously we're looking to see if anything pokes a hole in that. Today is going to be the second day of really substantive testimony following the first day yesterday, which was a really long day, many hours of grilling by the Republicans against the nominee. And so I think we're mostly going to see today a second round of that questioning, mostly a rehashing of the same Republican attacks. But so long as the Democrats have the votes and nothing new comes up that hasn't yet, I don't really see the confirmation being derailed in any meaningful way.
Jordan, what's the timing going forward here? Today's day three and the last day of the testimony. Where do we go from here?
So the Democrats have said that they want to get this confirmation done by early April before the Congress takes a break at around that time. And so really the operative timeline is making sure that the confirmation gets done before Justice Breyer has said he intends to step down, which is at the unofficial end of the Supreme Court's term when they're done handing out opinions in June and July. And so if Democrats can go along anything looking like that timeline they've laid out, then the confirmation will be done well in time for Jackson to take over seamlessly from Breyer.
Why is this important? I mean, for people who are listening who don't understand the politics in the United States, why are these hearings so crucial for so many people?
Because the Supreme Court decides almost every single issue that affects how Americans live their daily lives, especially as Congress doesn't decide these issues and doesn't pass certain legislation that perhaps long ago might have been more controlling. Even then, the Supreme Court has always been important. But really, if you think of any big issue, it either already has been or is likely coming to the Supreme Court. And that's why you see both parties really fighting like heck, either for or against a given nominee in all these hearings.
I'm glad that that's where you took it, because I'm wondering whether there's any soul searching on Capitol Hill about how they can perhaps more effectively bring it back to a legislative approach rather than judicial one, sort of as default.
Right. And it's interesting. Sometimes during the hearings, sometimes a line of questioning will come up that lead the senator to say, oh, and this relates to a certain type of legislation that I would like to pass, and hopefully I can get my colleagues to go along with me on this. And so that's kind of lurking in the background. And as you say, in kind of an indirect way, can lead to that point of Congress perhaps does need to get more involved in actually passing certain types of legislation. But I think no matter what winds up happening, you're still going to have the Supreme Court there at the end of the day that's reviewing this legislation and potentially striking it down or curtailing it in some way. So the importance of the Supreme Court is never going away.
Jordan, what's on the docket for this Supreme Court? What should we be paying attention to over the next several months?
Sure. Well, this term, really, one of the biggest cases in decades is the abortion issue. And that's really, if you look at these confirmation hearings, why they've been so contentious since Roe versus Wade, and especially in the most recent decades, it's because of that abortion issue. And so that's all kind of coming full circle this term when the Supreme Court potentially reverses Roe versus Wade. So that is by far the biggest issue that we're going to be waiting for in the coming weeks and months this term. And so there's also the issue of guns. That's another huge issue, the Second Amendment that the Supreme Court is dealing with. Next term, they're going to be looking at affirmative action. And so that could be one of the first big cases that if she's confirmed that Justice Jackson might be dealing with. And so that kind of goes back to my point of every single big issue the Supreme Court is dealing with, but especially right now, they're really right in the middle of all of them, mainly this abortion issue.
Jordan, before we let you go, I want to talk about the age of the Supreme Court nominees of late. We know that Ketanji Black Johnson is 51 years old, joining a roster of justices who all are very young on a relative basis. How young is this court relative to history?
Right. So I think that's a good point, in that what we've been seeing, not just at the Supreme Court level, but at every level of the judiciary now, we've seen the nominees get younger and younger as really the role of a judge becoming a career itself, as opposed to something maybe longer ago, where something a well-respected lawyer did towards the end of their career. Really, from the start now, we're seeing people being molded as potential judges and even justices from the start. And so that's why you see with these more recent nominees, with the Trump appointees and now the Biden appointees too, we're seeing not just on the Supreme Court, but throughout the federal judiciary, really these nominees getting younger and younger. And so that means it's a group that's potentially going to be serving together as a somewhat cohesive unit for decades.
Hey, Jordan, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate getting your thoughts there. Jordan Rubin, Bloomberg Law, Supreme Court reporter. Lots of movement there on the Supreme Court, and we will continue to follow those that line of questioning today.